This week's show is all about athletes who found themselves in difficult and delicate situations. And it would be hard to imagine a more difficult and delicate situation than going nose to nose with Adolf Hitler. Here's Only a Game's Gary Wallach.
Francis F. Baker was born in Buffalo, New York in 1914.
He was a small man. He was 5'7", but he was very interested in sports and very active.
That's Baker's daughter, Jetty Hood. She and her father were fans of the Montreal Canadiens. They would frequently make the trip from their home in upstate New York to Montreal.
Now, my mother wouldn't go because she thought it was barbaric. So he would drag me along. And I really enjoyed it. I had a good time. My father had a good time being very rude to the goalie, Gump Worsley.
Gump Worsley was all-star caliber, an eventual Hall of Famer. Baker's seats at the Montreal Forum were right behind the net. He'd yell at Worsley when he thought he wasn't playing well enough. One night, the Gumper snapped.
Gump came around at the end of the game, and he shook his stick at my father, and he said, "If you think you can do better than that, you get on the ice."
Baker thought maybe he could do better, so he came well prepared to the next game.
My father shows up, and he has his goalie stick and his jersey. And Gump Worsley comes around, sees my father. He bows his head to my father and gave him a grin. And that was the last time he ever complained about my father screaming at him. That would be something he would do. He would stand up for things.
When Jetty was older, she'd learn about another time her father did that. Francis Baker attended Hamilton College in upstate New York during the mid-1930s. He studied the German language, among other things, and he was the goalie for the hockey team. Hamilton head coach Albert Prettyman was selected to lead the U.S. Olympic ice hockey team. In early February 1936, on the eve of the Winter Games at Garmisch-Partenkirchen, Germany, Coach Prettyman had a problem to solve, according to hockey historian Stan Fischler.
The regular goalie had taken sick before they left to take the boat across to the continent. And when that happened, Prettyman got hold of his backup goalie, Francis Baker.
Baker agreed to join the team.
And they arrived in Garmisch-Partenkirchen only 3 days before the Winter Games officially began.
Baker practiced with the team as they prepared to compete amid a political climate in which U.S.-German relations were...
Well, they weren't cordial. Certainly by that time, even though the United States under President Roosevelt was still an isolationist country, the dislike for what was going on in Germany was pretty widespread in the States.
That dislike found its way into the opening ceremonies on February 6th,
1936.
Following Hitler's declaration before a crowd of 40,000 that the 1936 Winter Games were officially open, delegations from 28 nations marched into an open-air stadium. It was a typical display of Olympic pageantry, except for the ubiquitous Nazi flags. Hitler had told the IOC of his demand to have athletes from all nations salute him in the customary Nazi fashion, with right arms extended and rigid.
And the American team did not do that. Their arms were to the sides.
They didn't acknowledge the Führer, and the Führer responded by being furious. So we had a furious Führer.
And that's what triggered Hitler to come down into the locker room.
Hitler and his cadre entered and began to shout at Coach Albert Prettyman and the team.
Hitler berated them, first for the non-salute, and then he very hot-tempered told them that we will beat your American team on the ice tomorrow.
Hitler said all of this in German.
My father, who had studied German in Hamilton College, was requested to do the translating. But when the dictator confidently assured them that they could not expect to beat them in the upcoming contest, my father summed up his courage and mustered his best German to say,
"We will not only beat Germany in hockey tomorrow, in addition, die Verein Gitten Staaten würden Deutschland immer besiegen. The United States will always defeat Germany. And Hitler was infuriated and conducted an orderly retreat.
Later that day, the U.S. and German ice hockey teams met on Lake Riesersee.
Well, the game was an outdoor stadium in a blinding snowstorm with a throng of spectators, most of them rooting for the home team.
They described the conditions as near blizzard. Baker later explained that it snowed so hard they kept having to stop the game to clear the ice.
The game was close, but the end result, as the brazen young goalie had predicted, was a victory for the USA, 1-0.
The U.S. team went on to win bronze behind Great Britain and Canada. But Baker had made two bold predictions to Hitler. Only one of them had to do with hockey. Baker returned home, finished his undergraduate studies at Hamilton, and went on to earn his medical degree. In 1941, Baker joined the U.S. Army Medical Corps.
He landed on Normandy beachhead on D-Day plus two and followed the GIs to victory over Hitler's Germany in 45. So Baker made good on his boast, the United States will always beat Germany.
Baker returned from the war. For 25 years, he was a respected orthopedic surgeon in upstate New York. His daughter Jetty says he didn't often tell the story about his confrontation with Hitler.
He was very proud of what he did, but he was not a person to drag it out of the closet and show everybody. He was not one to talk about it very much.
Maybe that's why Baker's story has been overshadowed by the many stories told and retold about the Berlin Summer Games of August 1936. But in certain hockey circles, especially the one that encompasses Hamilton College in the quiet upstate New York town of Clinton, Baker's story still shines like a goal light through a blizzard.
As they like to say in Clinton, his most distinguishing moment was his appearance with the team and his face-off with Hitler.
That story came from Only a Game's Gary Wallach. It first aired in February. We'll have links to more about Francis Baker and Albert Prettyman at onlyagame.org.